This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Carla Salter, also known as Bus Chick, author of the blog buschick.com. Carla's writing has appeared in a variety of publications, including Grist, Real Change News, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Seattle Magazine, and Mass Transit. Her This I Believe essay is included in the recent book, This I Believe, Life Lessons. Carla also serves on the City of Seattle's Transit Master Plan Advisory Group. Carla Salter is here today to share her insights about the benefits and challenges of riding the bus. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Diane.
What led you to give up your car and decide to ride the bus as your major means of transportation?
Well, I should say I was pretty familiar with the bus because I had ridden it a lot as a child, as many young people do, as my primary means of transportation. But like most young people, by the time I became a teenager, I wanted to drive. And I didn't really get back to riding the bus until I was a young adult. I had a good job. I had a brand new car. And I was commuting every day to Redmond and just noticing how my city had changed, how much pollution there was, how much traffic, the amount of sprawl, how what used to be farmland had become suburbs. And I'd complained about it a lot. And then one day it just dawned on me that I was part of the problem. And the only thing I had control over was my own actions. So I said, well, the least I could do is take the bus to work. And I started there, and I just started using my car less and less frequently and eventually tried living without one.
What is it about the ride itself that you find most appealing in riding the bus?
That's a great question. There are so many things, but I think if I had to boil it down, it would just be being part of my community, being on the ground in my community. It's a totally different experience living in a city when you're on the ground on the bus than when you're sort of isolated in the bubble of a car.
What do you find least appealing about riding the bus?
Same answer. There are many wonderful things about being exposed to all of humanity, and there are many less pleasant things about it. So I would say I have the same answer for both, although there are other factors. Weather is huge for me, especially because I travel with two young children, so that can be a hassle.
In terms of interacting with the community on the bus, would you give an example of one of your most positive experiences?
Well, the one that I often give is I met my husband. Well, I didn't officially meet my husband on the bus, but we got to know each other on the bus. I had seen him for over a year. He rode the same bus that I rode to work, and eventually we met in a different context. And I said, oh, yes, I know you. You ride my bus. And then we saw each other all the time. So that obviously is a big one. But I also have made many friends that I've met on the bus. For example, once I was waiting at a stop, also going to work, and I saw a man reading a book by Octavia Butler. And I had just read Parable of the Talents. And so I just had to go up to him and say, what do you think of Octavia Butler? And we've been friends going on 10 years now. So there are lots of experiences like that. And a lot of random connections. Just I bond with people over our kids, or, you know, I show someone how to get somewhere. So just lots of random encounters.
Do you have any pet peeves about other bus riders or about the experience of riding the bus?
Many. I call those bus fouls. And there are a lot. I think it boils down to, I mean, I've listed many, many individual bus fouls on my blog, but what it boils down to is not showing consideration for other passengers. Being on the bus is, I mean, well, it's essentially the same as being in a car because you have to, you know, be considerate of other drivers. But when you're on the bus, you're part of a community and it's not all about you. So opening a window without asking if it's okay, or leaving your umbrella on the seat, or talking loudly on your phone, all these things impact other people.
Would you say more about how riding the bus has affected the way you feel about other people or your sense of community?
Well, I think one thing is we tend to be more and more isolated in our own sort of worlds of comfort. So we tend to surround ourselves with people who are like us. And when you get up in the morning and you, let's say you have a garage in your house and you walk into your garage and you get into your car and you drive it to wherever you work and into the garage and then walk into your building. And those are sort of your main travel points. And you might stop at the stores you frequent, but you really are limiting what you understand about your own community. You're not being exposed to who's just right there in your neighborhood and who shares the world with you. And so often, just overhearing conversations or encountering people, you get a better perspective about what's going on. You just see a whole new side. For example, even when you ride the bus in the middle of the day versus during commute hours, it's a totally different experience. I often say, people make fun of me for this, but I often say that the bus is romantic. And I don't mean that in the, you know, in love sense of the word, but because you have this vehicle and 30 to 40 people on it, and you don't know where they're coming from, you don't know where they're going. They probably don't have really anything in common aside from that shared ride. And for 20 minutes, they're thrown together, and I feel like it's endless fodder for stories. And it's just, it's really amazing to be part of it, to sit there and sort of wonder what everyone else is doing. And sometimes you get a little glimpse into it. Like, you'll overhear a conversation, or you'll see where somebody gets off, and you'll put two and two together. But it always just makes me feel so happy to be part of it. And whenever I have an interesting encounter, or I observe something funny or interesting, I think I would have never had this. I would have never been enriched in this way if I'd been in a car.
To what extent does your choice of riding the bus limit where you go and what you do?
That's a good question as well. One of the things that has been really good for me about not having a car is it makes me more deliberate about when I choose to go somewhere and where I choose to go. So we aren't limited in that we do go all over the region and all over the city, but we don't just do it on a whim. So a lot of the activities I do with my children are right in our neighborhood on foot. So we take advantage of the parks within walking distance, the community centers within walking distance. Our daycare is six blocks away. Our doctor's office is blocks away. And I think it really connects you to your community in a good way. When we're on the street, we always see people we know. We use the grocery store that we can walk to rather than driving to a fancier one. And one, it helps build your community because you're using what's in your community. And two, it helps you feel. I often say, why do you live in a neighborhood if you're just going to get in your car and drive away from it? But that said, we also, every Friday, I don't work on Fridays, so I'm with my kids, and every Friday we meet one of my girlfriends who I grew up with, and we meet all over the city. We'll go to Green Lake, we'll go to the Children's Museum, we'll go to the aquarium, or, you know, even farther, you know, outside of the city. And I often find that it's easier for us to get there on the bus than it is for people who drive. And then we also will go outside of the city, but now that we have kids, we limit the, you know, 2 and 3 bus rides.
To what extent has your choice to ride the bus influenced your friends' transportation choices? Have you noticed any effect of that?
I do notice that people always tell me when they ride the bus. They think they'll get the bus chick seal of approval if I know they rode. But, you know, I don't find that it influences my friends very much. Sometimes they'll call me if they need to figure out how to take the bus somewhere. More, I find it influences people I don't know. Maybe people who read and who have sort of more of an inclination. But almost everyone, if not everyone I know, owns a car, my close friends and family.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Carla Salter, author of the blog BusChick.com. Our topic is the benefits and challenges of riding the bus. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Let's speak now about riding the bus with children. And you've written a number of articles for Grist on this topic. Would you first like to tell us about your children?
I have two. My daughter, Rosa, she just recently turned 4, and my son, Quincy, will be 2 next month.
In what ways is public transportation good for kids? What are the opportunities?
I feel like my kids have access to all the opportunities that kids with cars have. But they're enriched in a way that kids who ride in cars all the time are not. What I really love about riding the bus with my kids, and I especially noticed this when my first child was really young, and she absolutely hated to be put down, is that I get to be with them. So our travel time is quality time. Instead of me strapping them in the back in a car seat, we share our rides. We walk to the stop together. When my little ones were very young, I carried them in carriers. We spend the rides reading together, meeting people, talking about landmarks. You know, they both have the parks that they like, or, oh, Rosa, there's your elephant when we go past the pink elephant car wash, or Quincy, there's your space needle. Or it just becomes a bonding time that I really cherish, and I hope that they have really positive memories of it. I mean, then there are, of course, the other obvious benefits, like they get exercise. My daughter is walking all the time. There's a lot of concern about kids not getting enough exercise, and she can walk 2 miles without really blinking. Sometimes she complains, but she can do it. And then there are the other benefits, like they get exposed to other people. Kids who are chauffeured from play date to home to school to their various activities, I don't think they really get a sense of who's in the world with them. And it keeps them kind of sheltered and not ready to understand how to deal with people they don't know, how to respect boundaries, how to set boundaries, not to be surprised if they see someone who's maybe missing a leg or who speaks a different language. So it exposes them to the world. And I think the other thing is that I feel like riding the bus, I'm able to teach my children my values without having to preach them. So getting exercise, equality, preserving the environment, all these things, I hope I'm imparting without having to say.
How does riding the bus affect a child's independence?
Well, for now, it doesn't really at all because they're always with one of us or both of us. But for me, I look back now, I started riding the bus alone when I was 8 to go to school. And I was a very responsible child. There's a lot of controversy recently about a woman who let her son, her 9-year-old son, ride the subway in New York. But a lot of it depends on the child. But the kids start to learn at whatever age they start riding alone, probably older than that, but to navigate the city by themselves, to pay attention to where they are. Long before they're able to drive, they can start taking some responsibility for getting around, either just walking to a store or biking or taking a bus down the street to church or something simple.
Would you say more about the benefits for children's health of riding transit? You mentioned walking more, but what else?
Well, and also another interesting thing is people always ask me, don't you feel nervous for your kids' safety? You bring your kids on the bus, and they think of buses as these, you know, havens for criminals and terrible behavior. But in fact, buses are 8 times safer for kids riding to school or anywhere than cars, even without seatbelts or boosters. And cars are actually the most dangerous thing for American children. The biggest killer of American children is cars. So my kids are actually significantly safer than people who drive their kids everywhere, and probably with the intention of keeping them safe.
What are some of the challenges of riding the bus with children?
Well, you spend a lot of effort and energy making sure that your children are in good spirits and well-behaved and sitting quietly, not kicking the seat in front of them, et cetera, et cetera. And I think for me, having one, it's pretty easy. One child is portable. You can carry them in a pack or they can walk. With two, it's a little bit of a struggle because taking a stroller on the bus is really challenging. Trying to figure out how to fold it down, get your child out, get both kids and the stroller on the bus, find a seat. And most of the buses aren't low floor, so you have to get them up the steps. Sometimes there aren't enough seats for all of us to be together, and sometimes people help and sometimes they don't. So those kinds of things can be challenging. Usually they can be worked through, but it just sort of adds to the cognitive load and the stress.
How do your own children react to riding the bus? Do they enjoy the ride?
Yes, sometimes my daughter, I haven't mentioned that sometimes when we have to go far afield or we have to haul something, we will rent a Zipcar. Zipcar is a car sharing, a company that provides car sharing in Seattle. And now they always get really excited when they get to ride in a car. My son says, I want to ride in a car seat. I want to ride in a car seat. So they do think of riding in a car as a novelty, but they don't really complain about the bus. Sometimes my daughter complains about long walks or if the weather's bad. But generally, they like it. And, you know, the drivers are always really nice to them. They'll give them transfers and, you know, they like to try to ring the bell. And now my daughter, it's her job to ring the bell when it's our stop. And she tells me when our number is coming and those things. So we make it into an adventure and they enjoy it.
How do you explain to your children why you ride the bus rather than having a car, since a good number of people do have cars? What do you say?
Well, it hasn't come up with my son. My daughter asked that when she was 3. We were walking to church one day and it was windy and I think she was just irritated about it. And she said, Mommy, can we get a car that we can keep at our house? Because she knew that we used cars sometimes, but... And I think I made the mistake of being too honest about why I don't have a car. There are a number of reasons. And sometimes I say every value I have maps back to riding public transportation, from, you know, caring about the environment to caring about the community to caring about my health to caring about how our cities are built. She's a very bright girl, and so I explained directly why I don't have a car, and it really upset her. Then she started saying she didn't like cars, and, you know, is our friend so-and-so, does their car hurt the salmon? And so I realized that I should have probably just kept it to we don't need one, and I like walking and taking the bus. I did include that in my explanation, but I think I'll wait till they're a little older to give them the details about the negative effects and just keep it positive for now.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Carla Salter, author of the blog BusChick.com. Our topic is the benefits and challenges of riding the bus. What are some of your key tips for riding the bus with children?
Be prepared. Set your kids up for success. First of all, you need to be clear about where you need to be, you know, where you're going, where you catch the bus, where you transfer, and all that. And then you make sure, obviously, that your kids have used the restroom. They're dressed warmly and comfortably in layers so that if you need to take something off, they're not too hot. I always have non-perishable snacks. I always have age-appropriate books and some colored pencils or something. I keep it very simple. I don't carry a bunch of stuff with me, but I make sure I have items that will keep them entertained. And that's really it. I spend a lot of energy making sure my children are well behaved because I think that makes it more pleasant for everyone and people happier to see you. And then I started walk training both my kids pretty young. So as soon as they can walk, I will let them. It was easier with my daughter when I only had one, but let them walk a couple of blocks as we're going somewhere and then ride or be carried. And then they build up stamina and they get good at walking, and it's not difficult for them to walk long distances.
What kind of response do you find from other passengers on the bus to children?
I have never had a negative response. I've read about a lot of situations where people felt unwelcome when they brought their children, but people have always been happy to see my kids and talk to them, at least the people who talk to us, where I don't know what people were thinking, but I've always felt like they're welcomed as part of the community and actually as a nice distraction to an otherwise maybe average ride.
In your view, what can be done to make transit more child-friendly?
Low-floor vehicles is, for me, a huge one. And buses, vehicles that are more accessible for families with children are more accessible for everyone. So people who have difficulty walking or who are carrying bags or whatever. Stops that are set back from the street that have shelters and just feel safer. If you're standing at an unsheltered stop very close to the street, it feels unsafe when you have small children. Obviously stops that are well lit. And then another thing that King County Metro in particular could do is post clearly the policies. So the stroller policy is not really defined anywhere. The bus drivers tell you, oh, you have to fold your stroller down. And some tell you you can do it on the bus and some tell you you can do it off the bus. But there's nowhere where you can just go and find out what you're supposed to do with the stroller. And for me, I've always known this because I've been riding the bus so long, but I often see parents get on with a stroller and bring a huge stroller that's not easy to fold and get on with it and not know that they're not supposed to do it. And the bus driver lets them. And then I see another parent try to get on and the bus driver, you know, tells them they have to take the child out and they didn't know. So just be clear about what the policies are.
What are some of your favorite stories from riding the bus?
Well, I'll tell you one that I really liked. I live in the Central District and I live near Douglas Truce Library. And in fact, my grandparents settled very close to that same area when they moved here in the 30s. So the neighborhood has been sort of part of my consciousness for my entire life. And I don't know if you know that Douglas Truth has what looks like a totem pole in front of it. And, you know, I always passed it, never really thought anything about it. And one day I was getting on the 27. I was talking to a man about my daughter's name. Her name is Rosa, and she's named after Rosa Parks. And so he thought that was great. And we started talking about the civil rights history of the neighborhood. And he pointed to the pole. He said, do you know what that is? I said, no. He said, it's a soul pole. And actually, if you look at the carvings, it's actually depicting the first 400 years of history of Africans on this continent. I would have never known that if I hadn't been on the bus.
Do you have additional stories?
Well, there have been times when I've just connected with people in wonderful ways. Once I met a woman, I think it was Easter. We were coming back. This is when my mother was still living, and we were coming back from church on Easter. And she was getting off the bus, and she was confused about where to catch another bus. And we ended up walking with her to the transfer point, and just we learned her life history. She had grown up in the Philippines, and she'd been in Seattle for something like 30 years. And she talked about the coat that I was wearing because my mother had given it to me. And I'm constantly having interactions with people like that who stay in my mind for years after, just from a short encounter like that.
What advice do you have for someone who hasn't taken the bus regularly but would like to?
Well, I think the first thing is just to learn as much as you can before you try. I think for a lot of people, riding the bus is intimidating because they haven't done it and they don't know how. There's a lot of stuff that you can do in advance of your ride to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into, you know where to transfer, you know what time your bus comes. So I would say just educate yourself as much as possible. Metro has plenty of information on the website. If you don't have access to the web, you can call and ask sort of how to get where you're going. There are lots of cool tools like One Bus Away that you can use that sort of help you know when your bus is coming. Even if you don't have a smartphone, there are ways to text and find out when your bus is coming. And don't be afraid to ask. People are always happy to help. It may seem like an intimidating, scary thing, but people really are willing to help. So if those basic things. But also, one of the differences between riding a bus and riding in a car is that everything you have for the day, you're carrying with you. So if you have to go somewhere in the evening and you wanted to change, or you know, if you wanted to carry your lunch or anything incidental, it has to all be with you. So I've become an expert at packing efficiently, packing light, but packing well. So I have things like a rain bonnet in my bag in case I've, you know, done my hair. But one of my pieces of advice is have a natural hairstyle that you like. Don't try to work against nature because it will rain on you. But make sure you carry essentials with you in your bag. Have your bag well stocked and well packed, and think ahead. I've written a lot about that on my blog in case anyone wants to look.
How do you hope our transit system will develop in the future? What is your vision for the future here in Seattle?
Well, I would love to see more dedicated right-of-way for transit. So right now, when you take the bus, it's often really, really slow. Buses are often late. This is not because there's anything inherently slow about buses. It's because buses are stuck in the same traffic that cars are. So I would love to see dedicated right-of-way. I would love to see more rail so that we have buses that integrate well with rail. And I would love to see less parking. People always say, well, I don't ride the bus because it's inconvenient, and it's slow, and it takes longer than driving. But there's nothing inherently slow about transit. In fact, transit is inherently efficient. What needs to happen is the city needs to build policies and build streets in a way that will support transit. If you go to a place like Paris or New York, you'll find that driving is what's slow. So just setting transit up for success, I think, is big.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I guess I would say that just being on the bus is being part of your community, and that's not a bad thing. It's the most enriching experience I have ever had, and it's positively and almost completely changed my life, living without a car.
Well, thanks so much for being here. You have just been listening to Carla Salter, author of the blog BusChick.com. For more information, check out her blog at www.buschick.com. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.